Oh, please, Brittany, you wouldn't know a good time if he were sitting on its face. My sister Emma slurred and then promptly slid off the bar stool. The patrons of MacGuffin's didn't turn a hair. There weren't too many places in Crestmont where a soul could go to get rip-roarin' drunk. Up until the 1980s, the town had been in a dry county. And while places like the country club served wine or craft beers, MacGuffin's was about the only place pouring hard liquor. Seeing someone wasted was just business as usual. Plus, they were all too busy watching the football game on TV. Maybe I would have been more concerned for her if I hadn't been budgeting my energy bucks all week for our outing. Sisterly bonding and all that rot. I'd been careful to shower that morning, so the temperature shift didn't trigger an MS attack. I'd paced myself all day, eaten protein and taken my meds, resting at periodic intervals. And when I'd arrived, Emma had been well past sloshed and on her way to blackout drunk. The shot glasses Emma had emptied sat upside down on the battle-scarred oak bar in front of her, lined up like good little soldiers. So much for a girl's night out. I rooted around in the saddlebags attached to my wheelchair until I found my phone and scrolled through the contacts. Someone half my age and autoimmune disease-free would have found the number in half the time. MS was a game-changer, though. It slowed my motor functions to a crawl. Everything I did was deliberate. My sister's fiancé, Tyler, answered on the first ring. "You okay, Brittany?" Despite the crappy situation, I smiled at the concern in his voice. Tyler was one of the good ones, and not just because he was a police officer. "Yeah, but I need a hand with Emma. I trailed off as I cocked my head and studied my sister's inert form. Melted.
Melted, huh? Like the Wicked Witch of the South?
That was the West, I corrected, though I made no comments about witches. Even though Tyler was going to be family soon, there were some things better left in the broom closet. Bottom line is she's passed out on the sticky MacGuffin's floor.
I'll be there in 10.
Tyler hung up. I stowed my phone and then gestured to Mike, the bartender. He sauntered over, slinging the bar towel over his shoulder in a move I was sure he'd practiced in the mirror.
"Can I get you something?"
"A vodka cranberry, please, Mike."
"Really?"
A pimple peeked beneath the patchy white blonde stubble that Mike was trying to grow in, but was turning out to be more of a neck beard.
"I've never seen you drink."
"That's because I don't." Booze plus MS meds weren't a good combination. My usual method for combating stress was dark chocolate ganache. Emma's comment about me not knowing how to have a good time stung. And I didn't have any cake to help me over the hump. Besides, vodka, if done well, didn't taste like anything. I sometimes used it in ice cream to thicken the soft serve. At his raised brow, I explained. "Special occasion. We're celebrating the big game." I pointed to the TV where one oversized galoot was sacking another. Or was that tackling? I could never tell the difference.
"This is from last season. Football is on hiatus."
Mike glanced down to where Emma snored. Then he shrugged and moved down the bar to pour my drink. While his back was turned, I checked to make sure no one was watching. Then, using the come-to-me spell, I floated Emma's wallet out of her coat pocket. It wasn't fair that Tyler had to pick up her bar tab, as well as her drunk carcass. Mike leaned over the bar to hand me my drink. I forked over my sister's Visa and saluted him. Then, with nothing better to do, I turned my attention to the TV. Football and I had a long, sordid history. In high school, I'd been forced to go to the bonfires and homecoming dances. "It will help you fit in," Mom had told me. "In the South, it's all about family and football." She'd been trying to help me break free of my shell.